I second what the brother was saying up here a while ago. I've got a deal every once in a while. I do it at my church, kind of like what Brother Mike was doing something right there. And I tell people, I say this. I say, can you tell me about graduating from school if you ever graduated? And I'll say, tell me how you graduated. Most of them say, well, I cheated, right?
Yeah.
And I say, tell me when you graduated. Tell me where you graduated. Then I'll say, somebody tell me where you caught your biggest fish. And they'll stand up and they'll tell me when they caught it and where they caught it and how they caught it. I'll say, somebody stand up and tell me, testify where you killed your biggest deer. And they'll stand up and they never will tell you where.
Yeah.
But they'll tell you the general location, right? Because, amen, my church, we're saved, but not during deer season, amen.
Yeah.
And and they can tell me all that type of stuff, and then I can say, is God bigger than a deer? Is he bigger than a fish? Is he bigger than a diploma? All that type of stuff. Then how come you can't tell me about whenever you met the God of the universe?
Hey.
Amen.
Good.
And amen, I can tell you all about it. Luke chapter 18, we talked a little bit about meeting him last night. Like I said, y'all didn't listen, so this is part two.
Yeah.
It's not part two, but I do want to give you something right here I think will be a help to you. This week, all week long, besides the fact that I feel like that this church has absolutely spoiled me and you've loved on my daughter, Miss Annie, and I'm so glad that she was able to be here with me this week. And you have. I couldn't have asked to be treated any better, and I owe this church and Pastor, you and your wife, your family, I owe y'all more than what I can give you, but I will be trying to pay it back later on down the road. Feel like I made some good friends, and it's been a pleasure to be here all week. And I'm not just saying that as pleasantries. I really am saying that. Amen. And so I appreciate this place. Luke chapter 18, the Bible says in verse number 1, it says this. And last night I preached a little bit later. I preached about verse number 18. But this is, all the Word of God is good. And there's some chapters that seem like it just speaks to you just over and over. I've got 13 sermons on the prodigal son because that's my story. I've got 14 on Peter sinking out there in the water from Matthew 14. I've told people before, one of these days I'm going to preach a whole revival just on Matthew 14. Then I'm going to turn around and preach another whole revival just on the prodigal son. Could do it. And Luke chapter 18 turned it into one of them chapters as well. But the Bible says this, and I want to give this to you. If you're not saved, we'll give you that opportunity a little bit later on. But I want you, if you are saved, I'm specifically preaching to you tonight something I'll try to be a help. Verse number 1, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint, to not give up. That means not grow weary. The Bible says that we shouldn't grow weary in well-doing. We should never quit and back up. The Bible says, verse number 2, and this is the example that he gives. The lesson is verse number 1. The parable is to this end that men ought to always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. Somebody was giving her trouble. Somebody was causing her fits, and so she didn't have a husband to go to the judge, or she didn't have a son to go to the judge, or a brother, or anything like that. She's having to go herself. And notice who she's got to go for. She's got to go before that judge in verse number 2 that didn't fear God and didn't regard man. I mean, man didn't intimidate him, and God didn't scare him. That's a hard man to go before. But he said in verse number 4, and he would have not for a while. That just means he wouldn't listen to her, just put her off. Amen. All the husbands can say, we can put up with a nagging woman for a while.
Yeah.
You say, what happens? The same thing. Watch it. Amen. Some of you need to smile. It's okay. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So they're scared to death to say that in front of their wife. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He said, I'm going to go ahead and do what she's asking because she's absolutely wearing me out.
Yeah.
Amen. Ladies, mark that down. That's a superpower that you have.
Yeah.
You say what? You can go and go and go and you can get your way if you won't quit.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. You got that power. We will give you half of our kingdom just to shut you up sometimes.
Yeah.
You say, well, read Esther. You'll find out. I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. The one that didn't fear God and the one that didn't regard man, listen to what he says. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them. The Lord will avenge them speedily. Notice this part. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for honor, the privilege it is to be here and to be here all week. Thank you, dear God, for the singing, for the preaching, the people, dear God, that's been able to be here and try to draw some help. And I understand, dear God, I'll give an account of everything I've preached and taught. And dear God, I pray tonight for the same way. I pray, Father, that you help me and you help me to say everything that I need to say. Take my words, dear God. I cannot help anybody. I understand that. But dear God, you can take these words from the blessed word of God and you can anoint them. You can bathe them in the blood of Christ. And before they reach the listening ear, dear God, you can do a transforming, a soul-saving work. And that's what we're asking tonight. We're asking, dear God, that you save somebody. We're asking, dear God, that you strengthen somebody. We can come to church and we can sit here in our pews in our Sunday best and we can act like we're right with you and that everything's fine, but dear God, you've read us like a book when we come in these front doors. You know what we have need of and we can't bluff you, we can't intimidate you, we can't hide anything from you. And I'm praying, dear God, for every person, whether they're saved, whether they're lost, no matter what's going on in their life, dear God, I pray that, Father, that you speak to their hearts and you change them. And by the time that we leave, by the time that I'm done preaching, dear God, I pray that we can honestly say, Lord, that we love Jesus more because we come here tonight. Help us tonight and bless us in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 That little last phrase right there is what I want to concentrate for the next couple hours. The Bible says this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, amen, shall he find faith on the earth. Amen. This story starts off with a widow woman and an unjust judge, but the Lord's teaching us about prayer and about faith in verse number one. This widow right here, I want you to understand something. I'm not degrading widows. If you study your Bible, you'll understand that the Lord shows us a lot about this Christian life and about faith in God and living for God by a widow. It was the widow that cast the two mites in. It's the widow that stands up here. It was the widow of Nain's son that was raised up. It was the widow that was making a room there for Elijah. I mean, God uses widows quite a bit, but I got to thinking one day, and this is what I come up with. A widow is somebody that has, lots of times, the majority of times, they have lived their life, they've lived kind of what we would call their best days. They have no husband, they've got no brothers, they've got no sons to go before them. This is the most hopeless individual, the most hopeless case that we can find, but yet we see the exact opposite when we see the judge of verse number two. So you've got a hopeless widow, but you've got a hardened judge. This judge right here was a man of power. He was a man of authority. He was a man that had pull. He was a man, the Bible says, and the Lord said this about him, that he didn't fear God and he didn't respect man. So here comes this widow that has nothing to offer. She can't intimidate this guy. She can't bluff this guy. I mean, Brother Tim, if he came up to me right now and told me he was going to clean my clock, I might get a little bit nervous. Amen. Amen. I forget your name. Miss Jean. Miss Jean. But if Miss Jean come up to me and said, I'm going to hit you, I'd probably just laugh and give her a hug. All right? So you've got this widow that's coming up before this unjust judge that can't be intimidated by man, and he doesn't fear God. He doesn't fear God. He's not intimidated. So you've got this hopeless woman going before this judge. There's no husband to plead her case. There's no son to plead her case. There's no uncles or brothers to plead her case. It's just her going up there by herself to a person that looks at her and says, no, I don't care anything about her. And the Bible says he put her off for a while. I mean, he looked at her. I can picture if it was today's time, he's sitting there in his bench, and he's sitting there, and she comes up, and she said, my neighbor's over here, or this guy's doing this to me, and I need some help. And he looked at her, and he said, I don't have time for you. Get out of the way. And all of a sudden, next time court rolls around, there she is again. He looks at her and says, what do you want? She said, well, last week you didn't help me, so I come back this week.
Yeah.
He said, get out of here. I don't have time for you. All of a sudden, the next day rolls around. Here she comes again. There came a point whenever that judge was like, look, bailiff, if you see that widow coming up the steps to the courthouse, stop her on the courthouse steps. I'm not going to do it for her. I don't care about what she's got going. I don't want her in my courtroom. All of a sudden he gets on his camel and he rides back home. He gets to the easy chair. He turns the television on. He kicks his feet up, and all of a sudden he hears a... He goes to answer the door, and that widow said, "Well, if you kick me out of the courtroom, I'll show up at your house. I'm having trouble over there." You see what I'm getting at? I mean, every time he turned around, he went to the grocery store. There was that widow saying, "I need some help." Every time he went to work, there was that widow saying, "I need some help." He went out there to watch his kids play t-ball, and there she was saying, "I need some help." He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. But finally, that judge in frustration said, "Look, I don't fear God, and I don't regard man. But in order to shut her up, yeah, give her whatever she wants." Yeah. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Let me say that in English so you can understand it. Yeah. He said, "Even though I don't fear man, and even though I don't regard God, whatever that widow wants, give it to her, because I'm tired of her showing up day after day after day." And the Lord, the Savior, the God of the universe said, "Man, if you want to know what I want out of y'all," he said, "whenever I come in the last days," he said, "show me somebody that won't quit. Show me somebody that'll come to the throne of God, that won't take no for an answer, that won't be discouraged, that whenever it looks dark and whenever it looks depressing, they'll just keep on praying and keep on shouting and keep on loving and keep on forgiving and keep on worshiping no matter what. Show me somebody that will not stop, that will not give up when everything's not going their way." He said, "When I come, let me find somebody that won't quit like this widow." Can I just say, we're living in a time right now where people of this world, they don't fear us. And they don't fear our God. And they don't think anything about this. But can I just also say, in light of that, the only hope this world has, the only hope, amen, that our country has, the only hope that our children have is still the God of that Bible. And it's going to take some mamas that won't quit praying. It's going to take some daddies that won't quit standing for right. It's going to take some preachers with a backbone like a pine tree that won't quit standing and won't compromise. It's going to take men and women of God that no matter how dark it is, no matter how gloomy it is, no matter how the world tries to discourage us, we've got to have a faith that won't run. We've got to have a faith that won't say we're done. We've got to have a faith that won't get discouraged. God said, "When I come, let me find somebody that's got some faith like that." Man, whenever I was reading this for one of the first times and I started getting a hold of this, my heart started pounding out of my chest. And I said, "God, whatever that widow woman's got right now, I said, give me some of that. Because I get discouraged. I get lazy. Sometimes I think, man, it's not worth it. I'll be up here preaching. I think they're not listening. They don't care. I'm preaching the wrong sermon. I'm preaching the wrong crowd. But I know there's a God up there saying, I don't care if they roll their eyes. I don't care if nobody shows up. I don't care what you think besides you. You think that nobody's listening, nobody cares. Boy, I called you to preach that Bible. I called you to love your wife. I called you to raise your children. And it does not matter what the world says." He said, "Let me find some faith." I get to thinking about that.
That's good.
Who here tonight? I don't know about y'all, but every time I read passages like this, there's something about that that says, "Lord, if you've ever seen anybody that you want whenever you come." I mean, it says there in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 verses 45 and 46, it says, "Blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh shall find him doing." Putting our hand to the plow, doing something for Jesus Christ whenever the Lord comes. He says, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith?" The Bible talks an awful lot about faith. Pastor taught me a good lesson last night that I've had to write down and study on. It's good. I'm going to preach it to my people and tell them I came up with it. By faith, I'm going to steal it. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, do what? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says that I'm saved by faith. It says in Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. It says in Romans chapter 3 verse 28, it says I'm justified by faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that I'm supposed to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5 says that I'm supposed to examine myself whether I be in the faith. The Bible talks awful lot about faith, but then it says in Hebrews 11:6 that but without faith it's impossible to please Him. God thundered down about Jesus Christ one time whenever He was baptized and the Holy Spirit of God descended in form of a dove and lit upon Him. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Are you saved?
Amen.
Are y'all saved?
Amen.
I'm not speaking Chinese. Do that. Say amen. He said, "What? Well, if you're saved, you're a child of God."
Amen.
The Lord looked down upon Jesus Christ and He said that right there. He said, "That's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I don't know about y'all, but man, the Lord has done a lot for me. And the least that I can do is let Him look at my life and say, "Listen, Jerry messes up from time to time, and he's probably one of my most ignorant children, and I got to whoop him all the time. But I love that boy. I want the Lord to be pleased with him." Well, if I'm going to please Him, I better understand something about, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It talks so much about it. The Bible talks about over there about this faith. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 that Jesus looked at the centurion and He marveled about his faith. He said, "Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word and everything will be fine." He rebuked Peter in Matthew chapter 14 because his lack of faith. He told a woman one time, he said, "You can have everything, you can have your prayer request," Matthew chapter 9, "according to your faith." He told him in Matthew chapter 17, he said, "You've got the faith of a grain of mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, you know, remove thyself, and all of a sudden that mountain will be gone." He said, "You can say to that sycamore tree, grow legs, and that thing will run and go jump in the ocean." Can I just make a sarcastic comment?
Yeah.
I don't see too many mountains removing.
Yeah.
And I don't see too many sycamore trees running across North Carolina.
Yeah.
And I don't see them running across Missouri neither. You say what? I'm just saying the Bible talks an awful lot about faith. And I want to please Him, so I want to do it. But then He asked this question. And this is what literally was the dagger in my heart. I know the Bible talks about it, and y'all been saying amen, so y'all agree with it. Y'all either agreeing with it or you just saying amen to shut me up, right?
Yeah.
The Lord talks a lot about faith, and we know that without faith it's impossible to please Him. But the Lord asked this question. He said, "When the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith?" Shall He find it? Well, it's all the way through the Bible. I can find it right there. But He said, "I'm not looking right there." He said, "I'm looking right there."
That's right. Yeah.
He said, "When I come and I believe, listen, you can say what you want to. You can divide the Bible up however you want to. But I believe that we are living close to the days that when Jesus Christ is about to return, I'm not looking to endure through the tribulation. I'm listening for a sound of the trumpet. If you want to stay during that tribulation, help yourself. I'm leaving on the first boat we're going." Amen. Amen. But here's what I'm saying. When the Lord comes, if He really is going to come, and I believe He is, He's looking for faith here.
Right.
He's looking for faith up through there. He's looking for moms and dads. He's looking for grannies and grandpas. He's looking for Sunday school teachers. He's looking for pastors and deacons and trustees. He's looking for God's people. He's saying, "Look, whenever I come, I'm looking for some." And that's the question that got me. I said, "Well, Lord, why are you asking that question?" He's asking that question. He knows all things.
Right.
But it's a rhetorical question. He's asking on our behalf. Say, "What? How come you're asking this?" Well, notice what it says. I want y'all to look at this so y'all understand. I'm not taking anything out of context. Luke 18, verse number 8, "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh." That's talking about Brother Mike. Isn't that talking about Him coming?
Yeah.
Says, "Shall He find faith on the earth?"
Yes, sir.
Why would He ask that question? Take your Bible and flip one page back. Because He said this right here. He said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith?" Well, why did He ask that question? Because when the Lord comes, He's already told us in the previous chapter what it's going to be like whenever He comes.
Yeah.
He told us in Luke chapter 17, look at it in verse number 26, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." He said, "When the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith?" How come, Lord? Why are you asking that question? Because when the Son of Man's going to come, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. What were they doing in the days of Noah? 27.
Yes, sir.
They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered to the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. You say, what's wrong with eating and drinking? Nothing. What's wrong with marrying and giving away your sons and daughters to marriage and all that type of stuff? Nothing. But the problem is they was doing that and knew not that the flood came until it was finally time. You say, what? In the days of Noah, they were too busy. In the days of Noah, they had already given up. In the days of Noah, they had no time for God.
Amen.
All right, keep on going. Likewise, verse number 28. Also, as it was in the days of Lot, they'd eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. And the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. This is what I got to thinking one day. In the days of Lot, there was Lot and his daughters. In the days of Noah, it was Noah and his family. In the days of Lot, there's three. In the days of Noah, there was eight. The Lord says, whenever I come, he said, it'll be like those days. Are y'all with me? He said, when the Son of Man comes, it'll be like those days. There wasn't much faith in the days of Noah. There wasn't much faith in the days of Lot. Y'all know it. I'll preach it here in a second. He said, so we ask the question in the next chapter. If they didn't endure, if I couldn't find much faith in the days of Noah and I didn't find much faith in the days of Lot, he said, will I be able to find any when I come? I read about that, and man, there's something that makes my heart start pounding hard and saying, you might not have found it in the days of Lot, but let you find it in the days of Jerry. You might not have found it in the days of Noah, but let you, amen, as God is my helper, let him find it in my days, amen. Everybody else can do what they want, but the God that saved me deserves me to live my life in service to him until the day that he takes me home. In the days of Lot, in the days of Noah, there wasn't too many. One man, Noah, found grace in the eyes of God. 120 years or 100 years, however you divide that thing. He's out there preaching that a flood was coming, building that ark and building that boat. The Bible calls him, over there in the book of 1 Peter, calls him a preacher of righteousness. Got up there and preached and preached and preached, and nobody came and nobody responded other than his family. You say what? I'm sure he was discouraged. I'm sure he thought, man, nobody believes me. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. But I'm pretty sure the day the first raindrop fell, Mrs. Noah said, I'm glad that she kept on hammering. I'm sure Shem, Ham, and Japheth said, Daddy, I remember all them hot days and all that hard work and going down there to school. They made fun of me. But Daddy, I'm sure glad we're on the inside and not on the outside when the judgment fell. I'm glad. Stayed faithful. Days of Lot, there was three. Sexual immorality was rising up and rising up and rising up. They were trying to beat down the doors. Every time, every commercial you see, every television program out there, you can't go in a gas station without seeing nakedness. You can't go anywhere without seeing something inappropriate. Amen. You say what? We're living in the days when they're too busy. We're living in the days of sexual immorality. You say what? And God's looking. He said, I found eight in the days of Noah. I found three. I think about that story and I don't know how that happens. He made a deal. Y'all know the story in Genesis 19. He said, Lord, he said, would you spare it for 50 righteous in this city? He said, absolutely. I'll spare it for 50. And I don't know how it happened and I don't know what y'all been taught. But whenever I sit there reading my Bible, I get to thinking, maybe Lot ran out. Maybe he ran out and started door knocking, trying to find a few. Maybe he went from house to house. Maybe he went from person to person, job site to job site, talking about God.
Right.
And he came back and said, I couldn't find 50, but if I can find 40, I'll give you 40. And he went back out and he started looking again. And y'all know the story, all the way from 50, he said, would you spare it for 10?
Yeah.
And he couldn't even find 10.
Uh-huh.
I get to thinking, man, there wasn't much faith. Found three. Y'all with me? Don't die on me. You say what? Found three? I wonder tonight if he went through the youth group, if he could find a couple teenage girls. Amen. You might be the one to spur things. Teenage boy, you might be the one to get your youth group on fire. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, if there's just a couple people in here tonight that just wanted to have revival, that said, God, I'm not here for a show. I'm not here for an offering. I'm not here to try to do anything wrong. God, I'm just here because I need you. I, I, Listen, I would bet my own salvation that God would stir and God would move and God would bless that one individual that would just say, Lord, I want you.
Amen.
He went from house to house, person to person, job site to job site, and finally came to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't even find 10. And the Lord said, all right. In the days of Noah, the days of Lot, three things happen. There's a great rise of sin. Judgment was about to fall, but then God started looking for a number. I wonder what our number is. I don't know this, and I can't say this. I know there's a point, because with the Bible says in the book of Genesis, there's a point when immorality got so high, God said, I've got to deal with it. I don't know what level that we're at. I don't know about the home. I don't know about your own. Listen, I believe that we serve a merciful and gracious God, but pay close attention. There does come a time when Dad has to get the belt off and says, I've told you, and you're not listening, so now I've got to do something.
Right.
I don't know what America's number is. I don't know what level that we're at. I don't know, but I do know that we're pushing him with the things that we're letting slide today. I don't know what the level of the country's at, but I know some of the things that we're passing into laws and legalizing today, I know it's pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And if that's right, there's about three things that's going to happen. There's a great rise of sin. Judgment's got to fall, but God's looking for a number.
Amen.
And he says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall I find faith?
Good.
Well, he came, he said, it'll be like the days of Noah. He said, I found 8. I wonder if he searched your heart tonight, if he could find you. Like I said a while ago, we can dress up, and we can smile, we can have our hair just exactly right, brush our teeth, and we can beat the kids into submission, say, if you act up, I'll kill you. You know, I mean, we can do all that type of stuff. But the Lord's reading us. The Lord knows what's inside there.
Right.
We're not bluffing him. We're not fooling him.
Yep.
Would he save it for you? Would he come home and say, right there's some faith? I'll bless Hopewell Church because of that family right there. Or would he just pass you over and say, I can't bless it for them, but I'll bless it for that kid.
Yep.
I don't know what it is, but I do know this. With all my heart, I believe he's looking.
Yep.
He's up there. He's up there right now trying to find somebody that hasn't given up, somebody that won't throw in the towel. Find some church, find some family, find some papa, some granny that said, look, I know it seems like I'm praying and nothing's happening, but I'm going to keep on praying. I know it seems like I'm just preaching and preaching with no results, but as God is my helper, I'm going to keep on. God, give us some people tonight that'll say like that widow woman, I won't stop until I see the hand of God and the blessing of God on me. He said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? 2 Chronicles, I know it's talking to Israel in the Old Testament, but it says this, let me just quote it. It says, if my people, which are called by my name. It don't say if my country and my Congress shall write some bills and pass some laws, then I'll hear. He's talking about us. He's talking about God's people.
Right.
Amen. He's talking about God's people. Say what? Well, that's the way it ought to be. If we will. The Bible says Jesus Christ, that one day that Revelation 19, that door will open up there in heaven. And he said, John said, I looked up and behold, he said, he sat on a white horse. On his head was many crowns. And he said, his name is called Faithful.
Yeah.
And true.
Yeah.
When we found the Lord, we found somebody faithful.
Yeah.
We found him. We found somebody that came to a world that he created only to be rejected by the world. And thank God a while ago when they sang that song, it is finished. He said, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm done. Amen.
Yeah.
The God of the universe that said, it's finished. He's still saving. He's still loving. He's still forgiving. He's still blessing. He's still working. And you can say what you want to. I believe he still is the great I am, not the great I was. Amen. The Bible says, faithful is he that calleth you. Lamentations chapter 3, it says, great is thy faithfulness. We found somebody faithful.
Yes, we did.
This is the whole point of our message. Listen up. Can't we return the favor?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Can't we be somebody that just keeps on worshiping? Keeps on praying, keeps on digging, keeps on loving, keeps on forgiving, keeps on witnessing, keeps on trying to live right in the wrong world? Can't we do that?
Yeah.
That's not too much to ask. No, no, no. Listen. I may never lead as many people as Moses, but I can be as faithful as Moses ever thought about being. Amen. Yeah. I may never build the wall like Nehemiah with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, but I can be as faithful to God's work as Nehemiah ever was. I may not face 135,000 Midianites like Gideon, but I can stay in the fight and be faithful to the fight just as much as Gideon ever was. I may not write Bible passages, and I know I won't ever write Bible passage, but I can be as faithful as the Apostle Paul. God said, listen, one of these days when I stand before the Lord, He's not going to say, well done, thou good and talented servant. Y'all finish it. What's He going to say? Well done, thou good and
faithful.
Well done, thou good and
faithful.
Say it again. Well done, thou good and
faithful.
He's not going to say, well done, thou good and talented servant.
Right.
Well done, thou good and popular servant.
Right.
Well done, thou good and Baptist servant. Well done, thou good and put whatever, Democrat servant. Well done, thou good and Republican servant. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful. And He won't say faithful. He won't say well done unless we've done well. And God ain't going to lie. I've told people back home, and I'm sure your preacher says about the same thing. I've told them, I said, you got family members and stuff like that that pass away? Listen, I don't care to do their funeral, but I will not lie. God's not going to look at you and say, oh, well done, thou good and faithful, if you ain't been faithful. One day I realized somebody come up to me and they said, Brother Jerry, give me a job. I want something to do for the Lord. And I told them this, and I think it about half made them mad because they didn't really understand what I was saying. I said, why don't you just start being faithful?
Yeah.
That'll work.
Husbands, look at me. Faithfully love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
Amen. Not stepping on her, not abusing her.
Yeah.
You treat her. The Bible says the church is the bride of Christ. How's the Lord love you? You love her like that.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wives, submit, love your husbands.
Yes, sir.
Help me.
Amen.
Say what? Raise your children in the love and admonition of the Lord and do it faithfully.
Yes.
I ain't getting no help from that. Amen. You say what? Has God given you a church? Be faithful to it. God given you one brothers and sisters? Be faithful. Has God given you a Bible? Be faithful to it. Has God given you something to do? Be faithful to it. I don't care what it is. Have you got a Sunday school class? Be faithful to it. God given you a pulpit? Be faithful to it. If God's given you talent, be faithful to it. Amen. If all you can do is say, on a pew and just encourage people, love them and hug them, greet them whenever they come through the door. If you can do that, be faithful to it.
That's exactly right, brother.
I'm going to get up there one day and I'm going to give an account. I don't have to be the best preacher ever get behind this pulpit. Do you realize what a blessing and weight off my shoulders that is?
Yeah, right.
I don't have to be the best daddy. I don't have to be, honestly. I got to be faithful at it.
That's good.
That means that I've got to do it and I've got to show up in the good times and the bad. I've got to do that. Amen. Which God has given me to do. Amen. You say what? I've just got to be faithful. One of these days He's not going to judge and say, well, this church down the road run 500 and you only run 200, so I'm going to give them more. No. Was I faithful with what God has given me? If God has given me 5 or 500, was I faithful? If God has given me one church or 200 to preach in, was I faithful? Did God give me a spouse? Was I faithful? Did God give me children? Was I faithful? Did God give me a Bible? Was I faithful? Did God give me this life and air to breathe? Was I faithful? Well done, thou good and faithful. Well done, not popular, not talented, not beautiful. Thank God. Amen. Not famous, not rich. Well done, thou good and faithful. The verse that led me to Jesus. 1 John chapter 1. If you're not saved, listen to this. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. And just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I was in this room and I was lost and undone, and you're sitting there back there thinking, man, if this church finds out what I've done, or I don't care how messed up you are, you understand me? There's not one person that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot save. You say what? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You say what? He's faithful to do it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, has God given you something to do? The Bible says, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You say what? Yeah, he called you to preach. He counts you faithful. He gives you some talent. He expects you to be faithful with it. He give you a Sunday school class. He expects you to be faithful to it. Y'all getting me? I don't care what it is, man. He's given us a church. You be faithful to it. Amen. Bible says in 3 John chapter 1, verse number 5, beloved, what thou doest, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. The Bible says whatever we're supposed to do, we're supposed to do it faithfully. Because one of these days we're going to stand before God, and I know that we all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I turn it around to the very front whenever it says this. He told me a story. He told you and I a story about a widow woman that wouldn't give up. That wouldn't take no for an answer. That just kept on going and kept on going and kept on going. She said, I've got nobody to go for me, and I've got nobody to go with me. My husband can't go for me. My sons can't go with me. I'm all here alone, and to top it all off, I've got to go to somebody that don't fear man and don't fear God. I'm sure she got discouraged.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I'm sure she felt like on days, man, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
But she just ducked her head and kept on going. And finally, that judge says, look, I don't fear God, and I don't care anything about man. But in order to shut her up, I'm going to give her whatever she wants. And make sure that whenever she leaves, she's got everything she wants. That way she don't come back and say you shortchanged her. Listen, it's not supposed to, this Christian life, we don't get off scot-free. There's going to be times when we get discouraged. There's going to be times we think it may not be worth it. There's going to be times we might feel like throwing in a towel. But whenever we start getting that way, I want y'all to remember this story. Listen, I don't have to be the most talented, the most famous, the most popular, but one thing I can do, I can be faithful.
Yeah.
He found 8 in the days of Noah, found 3 in the days of Lot.
Yes.
And I'm just asking a simple question tonight. If he's a search of our hearts, would he find the faith that he's looking for? I know he's looking for it. According to his word, he's looking. If he looked at our heart, could he say, right there's a faithful girl. Right there's a faithful preacher. Right there's a faithful daddy. Right there's a faithful Sunday school teacher. Right there's a faithful mama. Right there's a faithful man. I hope so. If not, listen, I don't care what it is. We can do that.
Yes,
amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, your kindness. And dear God, I pray tonight, closing out this revival, I pray that, Father, that you stir hearts, save souls, change lives. Help us be faithful to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Many are already coming.